Very good morning to each and every one of you who are joining us in this worship service. What an awesome God that we serve. Our God is so wonderful. Our God continues to be with us. But we are living in a time where we tend to ask a lot of questions. We want information about what's happening in this pandemic. We want to know the outcome. We want clarity. And even in life, we tend to ask a lot of questions because we do not know the answers. We need further information. We need a peace of mind. It's very interesting when you look at the gospel that Jesus is asking slightly more than 300 questions. It does not mean that Jesus did not know all the answers. He knew all the answers. But the reason that Jesus was asking the question is to have an interaction with the people so that he can bring the people to awareness, to bring clarity in the hearts and minds of people, at the same time to provoke transformation in their lives. Today we want to look at a very heart-searching question that Jesus is asking, not only the two people who followed him, but to each and every one of us. The question that Jesus asks, what are you looking for? And that's the theme for today. What are you looking for? From John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. Let's pray and ask God to be with us as we spend some time to look at God's word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, God, as we spend some time, we pray that your spirit will work in our lives, God. Open our hearts and minds, Lord, to your word. Stir our hearts, O God, and help us to be like you. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, I believe there were moments in your life and also in my life that we wanted something, but you just could not put your finger and say, this is what I want. There are times when we travel and we want to eat and we are overwhelmed with so many places where you can find food. But then you can't decide. Or there were moments when you opened your refrigerator, you wanted to eat something, but there's so much food over there, but you do not know which one to eat. And finally you settle for something that does not even satisfy you. But when you know, and this is the food that I want to eat, and you see it and you experience it, you really enjoy it. You know, in today's passage, it's about two disciples of John the Baptist. They were longing for the Messiah because they had been taught by John the Baptist about the Messiah, that this Messiah will take away the sins of the world. And so when you read in John chapter 1, verse 29, you know, John sees Jesus coming toward him. And so John proclaims, look, he says, look, the Lamb of God. And so when the two disciples, you know, Andrew and John, heard their teacher identify and exalt Jesus as the Lamb of God and identify him, you know, not only they were surprised, I believe there was a lot of excitement in them. Because they themselves have been looking for the Messiah. And what did they do? In verse 37, we read, you know, they left John to follow Jesus. Because it is Jesus they have been looking for. And can you imagine they were just following Jesus? In verse 32, 38, it's a very interesting word. And how Jesus responds. You know, in verse 38, it says, turning around, Jesus saw them following, and Jesus asked them, very interesting question that he's asking, what do you want? Jesus is asking the disciples, they were not ordinary people. They were people who had been schooled by John the Baptist. They were people who had curiosity regarding the Lamb of God. They have long waited the Messiah. They knew the word of God because they were taught by John the Baptist. And it's very interesting, you know, this was the first words of Jesus in this particular gospel. What are you seeking? Or what do you want? Now, when you look at the word, it's something like a very unusual way to start a conversation. Notice Jesus did not say, "Who are you seeking?" Because he knew that they were seeking him. They were just coming to him. But Jesus was asking a very hard, searching question. What are you seeking? In other words, what are you looking for from me? As we come to our time in the Word of God this morning, my friend, I believe Jesus is putting this same question to us. It's a deep question. Why are you following Jesus? Or why are you following me? Today, are we willing to answer Jesus' question? Rudolf Bultmann, a German Lutheran theologian, who was a leading 20th century New Testament scholar, has wisely written, and he said, when he was looking at this particular passage, he said, it is clearly the first question that must be addressed to anyone who comes to Jesus. The first thing that must be clear. You know, if this question is placed to Christians today, many would answer in such a way which is no different from the social media answer, because I'm attracted to Jesus. I like the way the things that he say or the things that he do. You know, he's a radical person, so I just want to follow him. But there are some who would come with some personal reasons, such as, you know, Jesus is able to relieve me from the sense of guilt, from the regrets of life. Or some would even say, because I want to learn about holiness, I want to learn about perfection in my life. Or some would say, no, I embrace Jesus because of the spiritual values, of the spiritual identity that I draw from his word. Some would even say that Jesus is there to fix my problems, and that's the reason I just go to him. Or some would even answer by saying, I want to be part of a community. I want to belong to a particular community. But you would not be surprised, there would be people who would say, I don't know. I've never thought of this question, this heart-searching question. You know, Jesus was not asking a question that for that particular moment. He was asking a larger question with an open-ended question. What are you hoping to see? What is that you want from me, from following me? Today, I believe the Lord is asking us the same question, my friend. What exactly are you seeking when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you following Christ because others do? Because you were told to? I just want to follow the crowd? Or because you want to know Jesus? It's an important question, I believe. We will take some time to dwell in our personal devotion. You know, what was the answer? You know, it was a very interesting answer when you look at the particular passage that you see, you know, how John and Andrew answered, right? In verse 38, it says, they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? They said, Rabbi, where are you staying? I believe they were not just asking Jesus' address to know where he was staying, but I believe it was more than the physical location. Because in those days, it means when you call someone rabbi, if you want to be a student of that particular rabbi, you want to be near the rabbi. You want to be close to the rabbi's home because you want to spend some time with him. You want to learn from him. You want to do the things that this rabbi does. It's very interesting when you look at verse 38, they call Jesus rabbi because they saw Jesus, someone worthy. And also it means, you know, that they want to be his disciple. In other words, they were saying, can I be your disciple? Can we be around you? Can we live with you? Can I be your disciple? It's a very interesting word in the Greek text. The word that is used for staying, you know, where do you stay, is a very important word in John's Gospel. This particular word is used more than 40 times in John's Gospel. It can also be translated as remain or even abide. Many times the word abide could be frequently misunderstood, right? As if it's a very mystical experience. Abide means to know. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you so that I can follow you. And that's what they are trying to say. We want to know you. We want to experience you. We want to dwell with you. We want to be close with you. We want to stay with you. We want to experience every moment of our life with you. Where are you staying? Dear friends, Christian discipleship is not so much about the imitation of Jesus, but remaining with the Lord Jesus Christ. John puts it very clearly in John chapter 15. When you read, he says, remain in me. Jesus says, as I also remain in you. And he also says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. David puts it very beautifully. In Psalm 63, verse 1, he says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you, he says. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. You know, abiding in Christ means allowing his word to fill our minds, that Jesus will direct our wills and transform our affections, my friend. John's thought in his book called Why I'm a Christian said, you know, the very first step to becoming a follower of Jesus Christ is the humble admission that we need him. That we need him. And that's what these disciples were saying. Lord, we need you. We want to stay with you. We want to be close with you. We want to remain with you. Dear friends, I think we need to ask this question, each and every one of us, including myself. Am I seeking to know about Jesus or to know him? Do I just want to know about this Jesus, or do I want to know him so that I can experience him and enjoy him? How did Jesus respond? Beautiful response. Jesus did not deny, but he invited them. He said, in verse 39, he says, come. Jesus is inviting them, come, and you will see. And verse 39 says that they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. When you look at the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, I see a love in that invitation. It's a very simple word, but it's open word. It's an inviting word. You know, it is more than just an invitation. Jesus invites us on a journey towards discovering who we are. At the same time, to discover who Jesus is. Because they've been wondering about the Messiah. And Jesus wanted to spend some time with them so that they will know about him. I believe, you know, when they spend the time with the Lord Jesus Christ, the word says, right, they stayed with Jesus throughout the day. I believe it was a wonderful conversation. Like talking to the Lord Jesus about his mission, his dreams, even eating their first meal with the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a conversation that lasted more than a day. If you realize in their life what happened, right? They became the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ for the next 3 years. and also for the rest of their life, my friend, they were living, abiding with the Lord Jesus Christ, because they took the invitation seriously. They experienced the love of God. You know, what a wonderful experience. And I believe the Lord Jesus is even inviting us. It's not just knowing about Him, but to know Him. It's to enjoy His presence. Enjoy who Jesus is. And to be filled with His love, with His peace. What a wonderful time these disciples had. Very interesting, when a person spends the time with the Lord Jesus Christ, as I said, there's always, you know, a transformation that happens in their life. The next verse, it tells us very clearly the outcome and the encounter with Jesus. It also speaks about how their spiritual eyes were changed forever. If you read in verse 41, it says, the first thing, what did Andrew do? Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him. He said, "We have found the Messiah, that is Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Can you imagine the excitement? Right? The first thing he does is to go to his brother and to invite him and says, "You know, we have found the Messiah. We have been searching for this Messiah. We have found him." The first thing I realized, you know, is the transformation that happened was they started calling Jesus, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" But now he says, "We have found the Messiah." The teacher has become the Messiah, because they have seen Jesus as the Messiah after spending that time with him. When they got to know him, when they ate with him, when they remained with him, when they shared their time with Jesus Christ, they knew that he is the fulfillment of the prophecies, that they knew that he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And they knew that Jesus is the Christ. Secondly, as we said, as we just heard, what was the second change, right? Andrew was motivated to go and tell his brother Simon, "We have found the Messiah." Can you picture this beautiful scene? Right? He calls his brother, he leads his brother to Jesus, and he brings him to Jesus, and the rest is history. I can imagine the excitement, the joy, that he can't contain the joy. Many of us would be aware of this great man scientist, right? Who was renowned, he was known for his work in mathematics and also in physics. His name is Archimedes. When he was a young man at the age of 22, he was in deep thought because he wanted to know how to solve the king's problem. So Archimedes, you know, walked to the public path one day for his daily bath, and he noticed that the more his body sank into the water, the more water ran out over the sides of the tub. Then he realized the solution to the king's mathematical problem, my friend. And what did he do? Right? It says that he ran out of the bath. He said, "Eureka, Eureka." In other words, "I have found it, I have found it." I believe that was the excitement of Andrew. "We have found the Messiah. Come and see him." Yes, the good news of the gospel is always contagious, my friend. John the Baptist, you know, told Andrew and John and many others. And Andrew brought his brother Simon Peter. And as you read the scriptures, you know, you see it is contagious. Simon Peter brings the gospel to people. And you read throughout history how the word of God has spread, my friend. One of the things that we learn about Andrew sharing his brother, right? Evangelism is best when it happens in a relationship, particularly when you know someone who trusts you, someone who knows you. And when you know that person, you have some kind of relationship with that person, because he might be your friend. And so when you share, because of the trust in you, because they know you, it's easier for them to embrace the love, or even come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend. And today, what do we read about these two disciples? They started as seekers. They were seeking. They became followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They became disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, they became the apostles who were sent out on a mission to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Dear friends, have you ever found in Jesus something so exciting that you cannot wait to tell somebody about it? I believe the Lord is doing wonderful things in our life. Each and every moment, each and every day, we experience His love and His grace, His miraculous power in our life, each and every moment. But are we just keeping it to ourselves? Or are we so excited to share to people? You know, we have found, and this is what God has been doing. The world needs to hear. The world needs to hear what God is doing in our lives, and He wants to do in their lives too. Let me close with a story. A story is told about Paul Gustave Doré, who was traveling in Europe, and he faced a predicament. You know, when Doré reached the border crossing, he discovered that he has misplaced his passport. And without his papers, the officials or even the officers won't allow him to pass. So finally, Doré was given a test to prove his identity. So the official gave him a piece of paper and said, you know, if you're an artist, right? Why don't you draw the nearby peasants? And to their surprise, you know, Doré did it with such ease that the official were convinced that indeed he was that famous artist. You know, when you look at the story, you are reminded that his identity was affirmed through his work, my friend. Many people in our world today find their identity through their work, through their accomplishments, through what they have. But as our Christians, our identity is not in what we do, but in whom we belong to. That our identity is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants us to live in our lives too, my friend. And today is our identity with Christ. Can we say, you know, that I belong to Jesus, that I am abiding with the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to read 22 questions in John Wesley, the person who was instrumental for the Wesleyan movement. He had 22 questions for the band members, in other words, the self-group members in their private devotions. And each and every one of them have to ask these questions, right, to reflect who they are. As I read, you know, I just want you to prayerfully, you know, consider where you are in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what have you been searching from the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me read the questions John Wesley raised. The first one goes like this: am I consciously or unconsciously creating the impression that I'm better than I am? In other words, am I a hypocrite? Am I honest in all my acts and words, or do I exaggerate? do I confidently pass on to another what was told me in confidence? Fourth question, he says, am I slave to dress, friends, work or habits? Am I self-conscious, self-pitying or self-justifying? Sixth question, he says, did the Bible live in me today? Do I give it time to speak to me every day? Am I enjoying prayer? When did I last speak to someone about my faith? Do I pray about the money I spend? Do I go to bed on time and get up on time? Do I disobey God in anything? Verse 13, in question 13, he says, do I insist upon doing something about which my conscience is uneasy? Am I defeated in any part of my life? Am I jealous, impure, critical, irritable, touchy, or distrustful? How do I spend my spare time? Am I proud? Do I thank God that I'm not as other people, especially as the Pharisee who despised the publican? Is there anyone whom I fear, dislike, disown, criticize, hold resentment toward, or disregard? If so, what am I going to do about it? The last two questions. Do I grumble and complain constantly? And lastly, is Christ real to me? Is Christ real to me? Dear friends, I hope you will take some time, you know, to reflect on your Christian journey and to ask all these questions and to know whether do you see Christ real in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you have given us, Father, that we can come. We thank you, Lord, for the question that you have placed before us. What do you want? Help us, Lord, to take some time this week to take stock of our spiritual walk with you. Why am I following you, Lord? Help us, Lord, to follow you with the right motive, with the right reason, for the right reason, O God. Help us to know you, to experience you. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.